was that all of the years of Sarah were cool on Shogun the Tiger.
They were all equal in good. Rav Yaakov Kamenevsky Zatzal has a very novel shot here. Very Moedik of shot and a very novel shot. He says the following. Rashi says shortly afterwards that why is the parsha of Nisa's Sora right next to the Akedah? Because right after the Akedah, the Sokin came to Sora and he told the Maestro that Avram went to bring Yitzchak on the Mizbeach, who came actually Nishkat, and he was almost Gishachtin. She was nifty. So Kipshuta, it seems like the Akedah was the cause of Sarah remaining death. So for Yankov, it's impossible to say something like that. Because the Akedah is the single most greatest schus that Klal Yisrael has had in its history. That a father is willing to be makar with his son on the Mizbeach. And that Yitzchak Avinu was willing to submit and to allow himself to be on the Mizbeach. I could be caught with such machshava that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Afra Yitzhavru Gufana, the ashes of Yitzchak are like their mamish gathered in front of me. That's how far Yitzchak Avinu went with his machshava. Tremendous kedusha in this act. And it was the greatest schus that Klal Yisrael has. And it was a precursor, it was a maisa of a siman levonin for Klal Yisrael to be makir with themselves al kiddush Hashem throughout the generations. So to say that this was a gerim of sorry remaining to be nifter, that's a very sure thing to say. So Zotter Bianchir Elamai, what was the pshat? The pshat was that Sari Inenu was supposed to be nifter then anyway. And had it not been for what the Sultan did, had it not been for the Akedah, she would have been nifter at that moment. But the Sultan wanted to chaperai and show that the Akedah was a cause of something bad, so that's the way he orchestrated it. He went and told Sara and she was talking nifter. She was nifter through this, but she would have been nifter anyway even without it. This is why the Torah tells us over here, by Yihu Chayei Sora, Meya Shana, the Esrim Shana, the Sheva Shanim, Shnei Chayei Sora. These were originally the designated years of Sora. Let no one think that she was supposed to live longer, and because of the Akedah, her life was cut short. Shnei Chayei Sora, this was the original amount of years that were designated for her. As I learned from Yankee.
Why did the
Sultan
get away? Like, why did he get
portrayed
that way? There's a reason.
Yeah, I mean, why, that I can't say. I don't know, because Hashem in that. But the Torah is being megalotos over here, the Chas V'Sholem, that to say that the Akedah was the Gerim of Sari Meim's life being shortened.
Like the
Gerim? What?
It's like the Gerim?
What?
Riches Yomim, Riches Yom.
Yeah. Right. So, there's a Balaturim over here. The Balaturim over here says, by Yovi Avram, the spoid was sorrow of the Kaisa. The word of the Kaisa, to cry over her, has a small cuff. Different proportions say different shot and white has a small cuff. Balaturim brings down that Avram Avinu was memayit in the Bechia. He didn't cry a lot because she was old already. Since she was old, he didn't cry a lot. They're taking the Balaturim. I saw the Sefer Oitzrus HaTayr brings down a question, since when doesn't one cry over someone that was old? I mean, just because someone was old, and Yaakov Avinu was old when he was Nifter, and it says that the Bechias over him, Rakam Rakam Yonin, Aaron, which is Vayivku Chodesh Yisrael, just because somebody is old is a reason why not to cry. So the Sefer Oitzrus HaTayr says, based on this, I saw another peer says the same thing. That if Avram Avinu would have cried a lot, it would have given the impression that he was the goyim of her being nifter. Because by doing the Akedah, that's the cause of her dying. So Avram Avinu was the dafkin amayit in the Bechia to show that this was her designated time period. When she was old, was fact she was old, that she lived her full life. And if Avram Avinu showed by being amayit in the Bechia, let nobody think that the Akedah was the goyim of her being nifter. So he was bedafka being mamayit in the Bechia. That's what the same point that Satayra brings down. Now it's interesting, having said this, and I think it's a Mayur de Kipshat, but having said this, the Arachayim HaKadosh says the exact opposite. Arachayim HaKadosh, one of his pshatim, says, what's pshat shnei chayei sara? He says that if tzaddikim, for some reason, have their lives cut short, they don't lose the quality of the years that they lost. Because they can come with the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had we lived our regular designated lives, you know what we would have done with it. We lived our lives full of Kedusha, we lived our lives full of Maisim Tayyivim, and that's what we would have done that. And therefore you have to give us credit for those years. So that's what happened over here. Sorry, Nimrod's life was cut short by the Akedah, yet she was given the full Shnei Chayei Sarah. Those years that she was supposed to have with Chaskila, she didn't lose because she has the time of Takodesh Baruch. You have no right to take it away from me. As I said, Darachayim HaKadosh, Mamash Lahetzer, you know, Ayin Panam Latayra, you know, each shot makes sense, so, but, you know, Ayin Panam Latayra. This is Ein Zach. Says Vayter, Vayokam Avroham Me'al Pnei Meisei, Avroham Avinu got up from the face of his dead, Vaydabra b'nei Ches, Lamor, and he spoke to the b'nei Ches saying, why does it say over here, Vayokam Avraham Me'al Pnei Meisei, from on the face of his dead? We know that he was, you know, he was an Einam. We know that he had so remained before him, and now he has to deal with, you know, the Maris HaMachpela. But why did the Torah have to repeat over here, Me'al Pnei Meisei? So Shloim Avoga, that's how it says, a Meudik Yisei over here. The Torah's Mavri is this to tell us a Chiddush. But even though Avraham Avinu was in anguish, he was in pain, he lost his life's partner. Sarah Imenu was Mavish's partner in everything, in the Nisyonis that they went through together. Avraham Megayeres HaAnoshim, and Sarah's Megayeres HaAnoshim. They went through Tzaras together until they finally saw a child, Yitzchak, together. There was a Maridika bond there, and Avraham Avinu felt a tremendous loss. The Yafalti came. By Yokom Avram Me'al Pnei Meisei. He was able to get up and carry on a regular, logical conversation with the Bnei Ches, the Menuchas HaNefesh, total Menuchas HaNefesh. Even in this time of strife, even in this time of sadness, Avram Avinu maintained his total equilibrium, and he had a whole conversation with them. He did not lose his Menuchas HaNefesh. Shlomo Volva says, of Derech Eretz, even if a person is facing tough times, lamaisa to the world, he has to maintain his regular matzav hadas, and he has to deal with them in a regular way. That's what Rav Shlomo Volva says. That's a very, very major issue, because everybody faces times of hardship, be it with parnasa, be it with health, be it some family matter. And sometimes we can lose our regular mahalach hamashavah, a person can become a tzitzumotah. And it takes work. A person has to know that every matzav in Olam Hazeh is a passing phase. Nothing lasts forever. The whole Olam Hazeh is a temporary phase. And a person has to work on his menuchas hanefesh. A person's whole household is a different household if he's able to train himself to be calm, cool, collected, and to be able to handle every situation. As the Maaseh said over, the old tells the Rav, Rav Yosef Yehuda Leib Bloch, he was very sick. So the Kovner Rav, Rav Avram Lev Kahana Shapiro, the Dvar Avram, came to be Mabaka Chayla. And Kovner Rav was carrying on a regular conversation, and all of a sudden he says, I feel that Yesisa is setting in. Nifter, you have to leave your kind. You know, you have to go catch the bus. You know, like he told me, like, Mamish, I feel Yesisa setting in. It wasn't the Nikaran of the Chal that he felt he was in it with calm, you know, perfect equilibrium. He told him, Gesisa is setting in, you better leave the room because you're a kain. Rabbi Shaul Salanter, when he was Nifta, he was in Königsberg, city of Königsberg, in Germany, for a refuah. So he had a caretaker that took care of him, and Rabbi Shaul knew that within the next couple of hours, he's going to be Nifta. And he was alone with this caretaker. So what did he do the last couple of hours before he was nifter? He understood from the caretaker that he was scared to be with a dead body alone in the room. So he calmed him down. He said, listen, dead body, what's a dead body already? A dead body is a human being that's asleep. So I'll go to sleep. You don't have to worry. Everything is fine. This is what he was doing right before he was nifter. He was given tzitumul. There was a yid that lived in Detroit, the chief rabbi of Detroit, Rav Lezer Levine, Zechatalik Levracha. So he was Yadua for this. Mother the Kamida of Menuchas HaNefesh. I heard this from a relative of his, that his grandson took him to the doctor Get him checked out. He wasn't feeling well. And as the doctor's checking him out, he says, Rabbi Levin, I believe you're having a heart attack. You better rush to the hospital. So the grandson is, oh, let's go get the rubber. Puts on his shirt, does that, he slowly. And he puts on his jacket. Then they walk to the car. Normally, he sits down in the car. And the grandson drives off. The maestro got to the hospital. They got to the hospital, and it turns out that it was nothing. But his ankle asked him afterwards, he says, Zayde, he says, I don't understand. The doctor said, they're having a heart attack. I mean, how can you sit there, Zayde, Menuchen? He says, it took me 7 years in Kelm to work on Menuchas HaNefesh. So Menuchas HaNefesh is one of the key yesodos in life. He says, we worked on that. We worked on Menuchas HaNefesh. And that's a yesod that we learn over here by Yochem Avram, the Altanei Meisai. Even though he got up from the face of his dead, he was able to carry on that regular conversation with the B'nai Ches. Now, Rosh Shlomo Volber says it was B'teres Derech Eretz to the B'nai Ches. But the emphasis is, there's another Nekuda over here that represented the Nitzchias of Klal Yisrael. If you look at the parsha of the acquisition of the Maris HaNachteva, it's a very strange thing. The whole conversation, the Torah is Meirich on it, and tells us a whole conversation between Avram and the B'nai Ches, which seems a little bit strange. First, Avram Avinu starts out, and he says, Ger v'soysh v'noichimachim, Tznuli achuzas kever, give me an inheritance of a kever, v'egbar amesim ufonai. V'yanu B'nai Ches, this is Shmeini Adani, you're a prince amongst us, v'mifcha kvarenu kvaris meisecha. They don't mention Achuzas Kevin. They just say, you can bury your dead. Avraham Avinu gets up and says, please, I wish you can give me the Ma'oras HaNachteva. Comes along Ephron and says, oh, you can bury your dead, don't worry. He says, of course, we'll give you a place to bury your dead. And then Avraham Avinu insists he wants to pay for it. And Ephron says, no, we'll do it for free. What exactly here is the Shachar of the Tariyah? He wanted an Achuzas Kever, they said Kvaris Meisecha. He wanted the Maris HaMachteva, again they said Kvaris Meisecha. He wanted to pay, they wanted to give it for free. What's the Psham? So Shamshon Rafal Hirsch doesn't spell the Chandiz Ha'aris, but he says the Yisoid Gadol over here. What was this, the importance of buying the Maris HaMachteva? Avraham Avinu realized that Klal Yisrael was going to be here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael. He wanted there to be a stronghold where they get a foundation where the B'nai Yisrael could come and daven. It's a Makom Kedusha where the tefillos will go up to Shemayim. And they know that they have a stronghold in Eretz Yisrael. He also understood that Klal Yisrael is going to go into Galus. And they have to have a place to focus. He wanted this to be not merely a place where one person is buried or another person is buried. It should be an Achuzas Kever. It should be a whole Makom where all of the Oveis and the Nemois are buried. Achuzas Kever. And Achuza comes from the word Achiza, from holding on. That's what the Shamshon Rafal says. Comes from the word Achiza, a Makom where they could hold on to an Eretz Yisrael, and a Makom where they could dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The B'nai Ches weren't stupid. The B'nai Ches came from the Kanani. They knew that Avraham Avinu was promised the land, and they knew that he was promised that the Kanani is going to leave, and they weren't about to give him a stronghold of it. They said, oh, B'nicha Kvarenu Kvaris Meisecha, we're happy to give you a place to bury the dead. But they were trying to avoid this Achuzas Kever. They didn't want it to be a place, a centralized place, where they're going to focus and where they're going to die. Again, Avraham Avinu says, I like the Maris HaMachpeva. That's the place I'd like. You know, because he had in mind, that's where they're all going to be buried. And again they said, we'll give you a place to bury your dead. Avraham Avinu insisted on the Maris HaMachpeva and he wanted to pay for it. Why did he insist on paying for it? Because the Klal didn't get what he paid for. If he was to get it for free, then the B'nai Ches could always change their mind. You know, they didn't pay for it anyway. We didn't really mean this. We didn't mean that. He wanted to get them out of the way. I want to pay, and I'm willing to pay full money. And Kachav Lubisayt, he paid the full money. And the Torah stresses that it's only V'achakach, after he went through this whole transaction, it's only after that he finally buried Tzara. So it was a whole shock with the Tali over here. He was looking for an Achuzas Kever. He was looking to get a stronghold here. He was looking for a Makom where Klal Yisrael could come and daven. and the doctor wanted to pay for it so they could have no tanya on the b'chlal. Rosh Hashanah Fover says that the name Chevron comes from the word Chibur, attachment. It gave us, number one, an attachment in the land. It gave us a Chibur to the land. And even when we were in Golas, we thought about the Maris and Achpelah. That's where the other Tadveshim are buried. And number two, it gave us a Chibur to Shamayim. Because this is a Makom Kadosh where Klal Yisrael could come and daven, Chevron. It's a Chibur not only for us to Eretz Yisrael, but it's also a Chibur from us to daven that our tefillah should go up to Shamayim. Another Indian. Vayomer Avram el Avdoi, Zekan Dezoi, Hamoisho v'chol asher loy. Came time to find him, he should have for Yitzchak. Avram Avinu said to his Eved, Zekan Dezoi, the elder statesman of his house, Hamoisho v'chol asher loy, that ruled over everything that was his, Sim lo yotcha takas yirechi. Place your hand by my thigh, v'ashbiach. Why does the Torah give so many titles to Eliezer Eved Avram? Avdoi, Zekan Dezoi, Hamoisho v'chol asher loy. So the Herman Chaim, or Chaim of Chernovitz, says a nifla de Gipshat. The guy was a chsidish Rebbe. Somebody told over this pshat to Reb Chaim Brisker, and Reb Chaim Brisker was very much mishadeach this pshat. He said the following: B'noyik sheva oylam. When it comes to a person's finances, he's very, very not trusting of others. He'll keep it to himself. Not going to mention anything to anybody. If he wants to invest in something, he'll check out, is it a good investment, is it not? If, let's say, there's a guy, you know, a stockbroker, is he trustworthy, is he not? What kind of investments does he make? He doesn't trust so quickly. When it comes to his money, very not trusting. Well, how, when it comes like to a matter of cashless, you know, you're in a place, you want to know, can you eat in a certain restaurant? You see a yin, you tell him, is that restaurant okay? Is that restaurant good? Yeah, it's good, don't worry about that. Right away, you'll go there without checking out, without asking. When it comes to inyonim of Torah and mitzvahs, people are much more trusting than they are than when it comes to inyonim mom. Rishol Salanter was once away from home. He was at an inn that was owned by a yid. And the yid sees a fellow with a beard. He didn't know it was Rishol Salanter. So he asks him, I'm Childik Shur Yid, are you a shaykhit by any chance? So he says, no, why do you ask? He says, I have a few chickens that have to be yishachim. I'm sorry. A couple of minutes later, Yisrael asks the innkeeper, can I borrow $100? He says, what? I don't even know you. How am I going to trust you with $100? So Yisrael Salanter tells him, listen to what you're saying. He says, a few minutes ago, you asked me if I'm a shaykh. If I'd be a shaykh, you would trust me with the shechita. You don't know if I was Makabal, had Kabbalah for shechita, you don't know how I chef, but you'd be trusting me with your chickens to chef. But when it comes to the money, all of a sudden you don't trust me. Here the Torah tells us that the hanhoga of Avram Avinu was the exact opposite. Vayoyim Avram El Avdai, he was a trusted Eved. Zikan Beisa, he was the elder statesman of his house. He ran everything. Hamoishel v'chol asher loy, he ruled over the entire estate. Avram Avinu was a gvir adir. He trusted him with all the keys to all the storage houses, with everything. And yet, when it came to the shidduch, says Simla Yocha Tachas Yirechi, then already he's not so trusting. Vashbiach, it comes to a shidduch, it comes to a mitzvah, it comes to the nitzvahs of Klal Yisrael. Simla Yocha Tachas Yirechi. Avram Avinu's anhogir was the hepach of what other people's anhogis were. Eliezer goes to the land of Yisuel, and finally he finds Rivka. It's the davening to Hashem. So Hakwin Elofana Hayoyim, make it happen before me today. I should find the right one. And he finds Rivka, and he gives her the present, and he comes to Yisuel. And he repeats the whole conversation that he had with Avraham Avinu. Shteit v'oymar al adeni. I said to my master, Uai loyfeilecha isha acharai. What's going to happen? Maybe the lady won't want to come after me. Should I take from the B'nai Skinah? Avram told me no. Hashem will guide me in the proper way. Zokrash. Ulai lo yisei v'ho isha v'lecha sacharai. A like shiv. It doesn't say ulai with a vav. It says it without a vav. A like. Eliezer had a daughter. And he wanted very much that she should marry Yitzchak. It'd be a very good thing for him. Here he was an Eved, a lowly Eved, and his daughter, you know, grew up in the house of Avram, she was done, was a chash of a girl. So this would be a gavald because Achra Eliezer, somebody did a good thing for him. And he suggested, Eli, maybe you want to be Mashiach yourself with me? So Avram Avinu said no. Ato Orur, your family is cursed. Uvni Baruch, my son is Gibbent. The Ein Orur Mizdavik the Baruch. So the Kotzker asks a question, why does Rashi say this business with Eli over here when Eliezer is repeating the conversation? Why doesn't Rashi say this in the very beginning when he said Taka Ulai says the Isha Lalaka Takara? The Tetzis is partial. Because the first time it says it with a vav. It says Ulai with a vav, it doesn't say Eli. So there Rashi couldn't have said it. It's only when he repeats it that it says Ulai without a vav, so Rashi it's read Eli. But the question is on the Torah. Why Taka is the Torah Meramizit only later on when he repeats the conversation, and the Torah is not Meramizit in the beginning? So the Kotzker Mayudika thing that Eliezer, when he first said it to Avraham Avinu, and he said Ulai Vaisayvah Isha Lalechas Acharai, he himself did not realize that what he really meant was Eli. When a person is Megeya B'dar, when a person has a vested interest in something, they can say things and they can act and they don't realize that they're being influenced by their own negius. So the Chachilah, when he said Ulai Vaisayvah Isha Lalechas Acharai, Eliezer himself didn't realize that what he really meant was Eli. It's only after Avraham Avinu said it's not Megeya. And after he saw already Rivka's the right one, so now Eliezer's Negius was taken away. Now he was out of the picture. So now when he repeated the conversation, he said, now I see that when I said Ulai, I really meant Eli. That's really my ulterior motive. That's what I meant by Chachilah. And that's the Nefius of a person. People are influenced by their own personal Negius. And they don't realize sometimes what exactly motivates them one way or the other, and that's really the reasons for their actions. So Mayudikimaisa. There was once a din Torah came in front of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. It was a din Torah between the city of Mir and the city of Nevarik. They had some argument. Representing Mir was Rav David Mirer, and representing Nevarik was Rav David Nevarik. Two Rav Davidals. Two big goyim, big tzaddikim. And David of Mir presented his side of the story, and he brought rayas to himself, and David of Nevarika brought rayas to himself, and the Seif Dover was that Rav Chaim Volozhiner thought it over, and he went through the Indian, and he passed him like the city of Mir. Nope. Rav David Nevarika, they were forced to accept it. That was the deal of the pillar. Of the Maisa, he had Tarubas on Rav Chaim. He felt that he presented the case, you know, Stark, and he brought riots to himself from different Bekaimas, and he felt that Rav Chaim made a mistake in the Pesach. I have to accept it, but I don't have to agree with it. But a while later, there used to be a county fair not far from Volozhin. And Rav Chaim used to invite a group of Rabbanim to come there because people used to come from all over and do business there, and a lot of times shilohs came up in Halacha between Shushman, Hilchis, Mechachumemker, arguments. So Rav Chaim invited a few Rabbonim to come with him to Paschim, and they would get paid. The Balabatim would pay them for their services. And he invited Rav David Nevarik to be one of the Rabbonim to come with him. David Nevarik was only the Evian, and he could use the money. A week into the affair, into the gathering, two people come over to Rav David Nevarik, and they ask, could you Paschim a dintayra for us? He went to Rav Chaim and he was too busy and he sent us to you. They present their shayla, you know, this one kind is like this and this one kind is like that. So he thinks it over, goes into the Indian and he passed him like one over the other. Fine. They were satisfied and they paid him for his services and they said, Yashikayach. At the end of the 2 week period, Rav Dovidel comes over to Rav Chaim. And he says goodbye to him and he thanks him for inviting him. He made a little bit of money here. It was worth it for him to come. So Rav Chaim asks him, by the way, how did you paskin in that entire that I sent over to you between those two fellows? So I paskin like so and like so. So he says, what did you base your psak on? It's a problem. There's a Rambam. It's based on a Gemara. The Shulchan Aruch passages like that. There's a Shach. He tells him his whole spiegel type. So Chaim tells him, tell me, isn't that Shaila between those two Balabatim came out exactly the same Shaila that you had with the city of Nir? So he said, yeah. And didn't you paskin exactly like I paskin over there with the same reasoning? So he said, yeah. He said, I see now that it was negated to me, and Taka wasn't able to see it objectively. And now that it wasn't negated to me, I was able to see it objectively. After the tears of a person. But the story's not over yet. About a year after was Reb Chaim Volozhiner was nifter, and not long after that, Reb David Levayka ran into one of the fellows that came to him for the din Torah. She says, remember, you know, I passed him through that din Torah. She said, what din Torah? What are you talking about? She says, remember by the county fair you came over with somebody else? She says, oh, that? That wasn't the real din Torah. I didn't even know the other guy. She says, what? He says, yeah, Reb Chaim got us both together and he gave us money and he told us to go over to you to present this shayla in front of you. We should pay you for your services and go see this. He says, oy vey, take a look at the godless of Reb Chaim. He says, not only was he a going and learning, but he was a pikeach. He understood that if I'd be presented with the shayla, I'd pass in the same way. And because he knew that I had to have rumors on and he paid the money for my shock, even though it wasn't really a shine. And that's the shot over here. The Ulai and the Eli lechat chiva. Eliezer didn't realize that he was negeya the dover. It's only afterwards, when it wasn't negeya anymore, that he realized that he was tapping negeya the dover lechat chiva. Very interesting shaila here. It says that Eliezer took vayikach asora gemalim migmalei adonav. He took 10 camels from the camels of his master. So Rashi brings down that Avraham Avinu's camels were nicker, they were recognizable more than any other camel because they used to have their mouths muzzled so they shouldn't eat from Zayin. So the Ramban over here brings down a very interesting Medrash. The Medrash asks a question and doesn't give a teretz. We know that the Gemara in the Sefer Chulin, that Zayin brings down that the Chamor of Reb Pinchas ben Yair once went to an inn and they fed the chamor, and the chamor wouldn't eat. And they ground it down, the grain, it wouldn't eat. They cleaned it out, and it wouldn't eat. And they asked Reb Pinchas ben Yair, why doesn't it want to eat? She said, did you give ma'aser from it? She says, oh no, I gave ma'aser from the chamor. So the chamor of Reb Pinchas ben Yair would not be Avraham and Yisr. So the Medrash asks the question, were the gemalim of Avraham Avinu on a lower madrega than the chamor of Reb Pinchas ben Yair? So what was Avraham Avinu afraid of, that he had to muzzle his gemalim? They weren't on the madrega of the chamor of Reb Pinchas ben Yair, and the Medrash does not give an answer. But there are various answers given by the Mefarshim. One of the Mefarshim on the Medrash says that Zikr, the gemalim of Avraham, were at least on the madrega of the chamor of Reb Pinchas ben Yair. But Avraham Avinu did not want to be sung Mechalaneis, and since it was shchiach that they could eat, because all around them there was tvuah. He didn't want to be saying mechalaneis, so he muzzled them up. But that doesn't mean to say that his behemoths were on a lesser madrega. It's said over in the name of the Ur Sameach, Poshet. Of course, Avraham Avinu's animals would not have eaten on their own, but he wanted to teach other people that they have to be zohir. See, Bedaskin muzzled his animals, even though it wasn't a yeah for his own animals, but he muzzled them to teach other people that when your animals go around other people's property, you have to keep them muzzled and you can't trust them because they might eat from other people's property. As I say, Mishen D'Or Sameach. Rav Yankiv Kamenetsky, Sefer Emes L'Yankiv, says a novel pshat. Even though I don't understand it totally, but he says a very novel pshat. He says, Reb Pinchas ben Yair lived in Eretz Yisrael. And it's known that Eretz Yisrael lifts up the level not only of the people, but it also lifts up the level of the animals as well. And he quotes a piyut from Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi. Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi says in one of the kinnim, She'artza maskeles ko behemes. Eretz Yisrael, the land of Eretz Yisrael, gives extra seichel to all behemes. The Meila, Reb Pinchas ben Yair's Chamor was in Eretz Yisrael. The Meila had Seichel. And the Meila, it wouldn't be from something which is us. But Eliezer over here was coming to Chutz Laaretz, right? So even an animal from Eretz Yisrael that comes to Chutz Laaretz, if it's in Chutz Laaretz, it doesn't have the same seichel. He was afraid it was going to eat. So he's up to Gamzee. I don't understand this, because Rashi is mashma that Avram's animals were nikkur mishagans, mashma that he did it in Eretz Yisrael also. That he kept them muzzled. So I'm not 100% clear about that.
But at that point, there was an Eretz Yisrael. Wasn't Avram a Jew? There was an Eretz Yisrael in Eretz Canaan.
It was what?
It had a din of Eretz Canaan at that point, still.
It had a din of Eretz Canaan. You mean you want to say that he always kept them muzzled?
That was the whole shot to the Machlokes between him and Moshe. Avram, it's not his right now.
I hear.
So maybe he didn't possess the Kedushin.
I hear. Okay. Could be. Could be to me. Even then. Okay. Stop here. I'll put the shot.